All right. Well, Tucker Carlson, it turns out Tucker Carlson had a chance to meet World Economic Forum's Klaus Schwab. Can you imagine what that must have been like? So Klaus Schwab, the main driver behind the Great Reset, of course. Just a few weeks ago, of course, we found out that Schwab is stepping down and is handing over the reins to his family and his daughter, Nicole. Now, we did report on this show, of course, that they didn't want to hand over the reins of the World Economic Forum to outsiders. They want to keep it within the Schwab family. And this is going to continue on. So no board members, it's going to be contained inside the Schwab family. And she wants to continue the Great Reset. She's publicly said this a number of months ago. So is he really the brain trust that we think he is? Well, Tucker Carlson was just on the Sean Ryan show, and he admitted to meeting the guy, and he wasn't impressed at all by him. Watch.
I was with Klaus Schwab this winter.
You were with Klaus Schwab?
I was just trying to casually drop that, Sean. I was with Klaus Schwab. Klaus Schwab said to me, no, I spoke at an event in the Middle East he was at, and I don't know Klaus Schwab, but I got to see him up close, you know. And he's like an idiot. He's like an elderly idiot. Seems a little senile, like doesn't have any idea what he's talking about at all. He's totally unimpressive. And it was just another reminder that the closer you get, like a Toria Nuland, for example, who basically started the current war in Ukraine. She's like this kind of sad, fat, dumb girl, you know, actually. And okay. So the closer you get, the more you realize that the people running things are like mediocre. They're buffoons. They have no idea what they're doing. Tony Blinken? I mean, really?
So, okay. So totally unimpressive.
I wonder how he really feels.
Sad, fat, dumb girl. But it does.
But powerful. Right?
But powerful.
People die because of her dumb mistakes.
Well,
self-loathing dumb mistakes.
The reason I think that this is interesting is not just, it's the assessment of this sort of insular world where you have in Washington, D.C., or you have these sort of power brokers, the Ursula von der Leyen's, the Klaus Schwab's, the Tedrosses of the world. Like, they're sad individuals.
Well, you know the
expression.
They're
sad, unimpressive individuals.
Never meet your heroes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, Tucker was really, he really thought of him as a hero. And he's like, wow, you really disappointed me. You're quite a loser, actually.
Joe Rogan had this bit that he did in his stand-up where he was like, you know, you don't want an intelligent president. Like, they had an intelligent president, and then like people were like, the powers that be would be like, I think we can go dumber. So they went with Bush. Like, I think we can go even dumber. And it's like, they want those people that are idiots in there because they don't resist what they tell them to do.
Right. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, that's why they say, you know, you can't. It's very difficult to ever have someone who is, you know, very, very high IQ in any of these positions because they are controlled. But, you know, Klaus Schwab, I think, does control things. And if he's an unimpressive idiot who's sort of he's got sycophants all around him, right? And I think that's the thing. He never really is allowed out of his bubble to meet people like Tucker Carlson and these other individuals who are going to do challenging things. When he does the World Economic Forum, it's all sycophants who are surrounding him and asking him questions, right? But he's an elderly idiot who seems a little senile, doesn't have any idea what he's talking about. The closer you get, the more you realize the people running things are mediocre, like buffoons, he says. So, but this is this was the eye-opening part of this interview, because he's admitted that these guys are idiots who love to destroy the things that they don't build, right? They like to tear down the things that they don't build. So if you think about what Klaus Schwab is doing with the Great Reset, it's tear down going to an office space, right? Going to an office.
Well, the economy as we have built it with our purchasing power, basically.
Yeah, the monetary system as we know it.
So it's like we're the doozers and they're the fraggles. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's what Tucker says here. They things that our ancestors have built, the beautiful infrastructure, the financial system, right? Whatever it is, they want to tear it down. He describes it all as vandalism. Watch.
Oh, I don't think there's like a conspiracy. I doubt they're smart enough to like articulate it and write it down or anything like that. But it's just like, again, they're weak people. They're motivated by rage and envy. They're not the people who built the current society that we live in. Anything worth having, they did not build, from our beautiful train stations to our power grid to any of our infrastructure, to Harvard University, to our legal code, to anything that's great about America. They didn't you know, protect the national parks. They had nothing to do with Yellowstone. Like they didn't create anything, and they're not capable of it. And they're mad about it. And they're mad in the way that primitive, envious people are mad. You know, they don't celebrate beauty, they destroy beauty. You see this a lot. It's one of the main motivators of evil, in my view. And they just want to tear it down. They're mad about it. Like, they couldn't have done that. Dead white men. Okay. Who created our entire society. Like, everything. All our founding documents. Everything. And they hate them most. Why do they hate them, actually? Why would you be mad? Why are you mad at James Madison? Like, he's long gone. Thomas Jefferson owned slaves. Okay. Unlike Muhammad. You know, or whatever. You know, they come up with these pretexts to justify their hate. But really, it's just envy. Because they're not capable people. They have no skills. Like Tony Blinken?
Yeah.
Like Tony Blinken couldn't change a tire on your truck. Like he's a fucking idiot. Like actually, it's not a surprise that he's mismanaged the world. He's out there like playing guitar in Kiev, which he calls Kyiv, because he's just like a child. They all are. And they're mad about the fact that they're fraudulent and weak and helpless, actually. Supply chain breaks down. They all starve to death. Like they know that. And they're mad about it. And so they want to wreck the things that others built. This is like the oldest story there is.
You think that's what it is?
Of course. It's why the Vandals sacked Rome. Of course. You built this great. It's why people spray graffiti on beautiful buildings in New York City. You didn't build this. Neither did your ancestors. You're a fucking moron. You couldn't build anything. So you tear it down. Of course. It's the oldest impulse there is. Vandalism. It's all vandalism.
What do you guys think of that? I think the evil part was interesting. Like that's a precursor to evil. It's like the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. And it's it's the most telling part of evil. And you want to tear everything down. I think, I don't know, I found it really fascinating.
It sounds like Commodus, right? The yeah. most destructive emperor of the Roman Empire, and the only one that was a direct descendant of an emperor. So he didn't earn that position. He was birthed into it and destroyed it. So if you study your Roman history, you would know that Commodus was the end of the Roman Empire. And if you haven't studied, maybe you've seen Gladiator, because that is exactly the archetype of the way that Joaquin Phoenix played it.
Right. And by the way, the Roman Empire, you devalue the currency.
Yeah.
You borrow more than you have coming in. And then the Vandals are at the gate. Right. This is what happens.
You just look at this administration and what's like, if you just look at what's happening in the United States, it's crumbling. Like we are watching it crumble with the immigration and with the economy and everything. We're seeing before our eyes this country crumble. And it's like they know they can do stuff about it, but they don't. They fake pass legislation. They fake fight that they're, you know, the Republicans didn't pass the immigration bill. Like it's just like, but if you looked at the actual bill, it would destroy the country.
Yes, but when he says, I don't think that it's intentional. It's just these big whiny babies who are otherwise incompetent, and that's what we are suffering from their leadership. It's hard to know, right? And I don't want to have this sort of religious zealot idea about it, is that every bad decision is part of a global conspiracy and they're all connected, because it's really hard to know why so many people in power are doing so many destructive things.
Well, it also gives them so much, a huge level of intelligence.
Right.
Right. You mean to tell me that all of these clowns are so smart that it's like five-dimensional chess somehow, that they're that far ahead of us.
Yes.
But the thing is, you know, they did write these things down. Right. They did write these things down in their great reset plans in 2030 and all of these things. So they've mapped out these meetings.
Right.
They've mapped out these plans when they get together and they have meetings about these things.
Yeah.
When the Fed gets together and plans these things, and then it comes to fruition just a few short years later. And when you look at COVID, for crying out loud. Right. I mean, we were hearing about COVID as part of a plan, or as part of a pandemic before it happened. It's not to me, that's not a coincidence.
Right. Yeah, it's just, well, I think that, if we always defer to the global conspiracy, that almost will make us lazy and we could miss things. And I was raised in a religious sect where there was always an answer to evil in the world. It was this, that, or the other. It's the devil, it's this, right? And so that's the only thing that I get nervous about, is anytime I see something, I'm like, that's the conspiracy, because then that makes me not look further. That's the only thing I worry about.
Well, and I think it's kind of like Game of Thrones, you know, where you have there's like a small group of people that are in there with the table that has the world on it, and they're like planning, okay, this is what we have to do here, and this, and then it's like, then the powers that they have around them go out and disperse that to the power that they go talk to. So it's like there's a small sect of people that are controlling everything, in my opinion. This is just what I think, because like there's no way they could strategically, it's like a general strategically taking out a military. You have to have a strategy that knows exactly, like if you lay like a some kind of like blueprint over the top of it, you can see that it, like with every little thing, it all kind of like comes together as one big thing, because it's doing the same thing. It's all destroying the same thing. So well, we know, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, right? I mean, I think we know that these people in power are doing this. Again, the World Economic Forum, in these meetings, all of these things have come to pass. We've been tracking them. And when we call them out is the only time that seems to stop them. Right. When we call out what the World Economic Forum is doing, or we call the World Health Organization out about their pandemic treaty. And right. then countries are like aware of it and stand up and say, no, we're not doing this. And they vote against it. It's because we and others shine a light on it.
Yeah.
In addition to which, you have the Bilderberg meetings. You have all of these sort of secret meetings where right. they are deciding what's going to happen on a larger scale. These billionaires get together and drive consensus.
I mean, yeah. It goes all the way back to 1913 to Jekyll Island, where that group of bankers got together, and we are still dealing with the financial system that they set up on that island in secret with the Federal Reserve and all of that. We're still dealing with that today from 1913. And so they set that a lot of these paths in place way back then, and now it's just all coming to fruition.
Well, right. you just go to the Bretton Woods Agreement in the United States during the Bretton Woods Accords. I mean, the financial system that we currently have as the reserve currency of the world, the United States dollar, is protected by the Bretton Woods Agreement, which would say that U.S. superiority and naval power and military might will protect the U.S. dollar. You guys use the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency of the world. And our job as part of the Bretton Woods Agreement is to secure and safe passage of trade. But then when that starts, we're still dealing with that today. So we will bully the world with force. We will bully the world with guns. And you have to use the U.S. reserve U.S. dollar as the reserve currency. We will secure the world. That's why we have 900 military bases around the world. So, yeah, that was a meeting. I wasn't invited to that meeting.
Or given a vote.
Nope. Yeah, no, yeah. We weren't given a vote. And it was not voted on by the American people also, by the way.
Right.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I love the fact that the Constitution is here to keep our politicians in place or whatever. But, like, that's a document from the 1700s. I mean, I feel like we're at a point in history where we should be rewriting those things. We should be upgrading this system to a more modern system, because it's so archaic. It only favors the elite. It doesn't favor the people. And I can't believe that more people don't just like rise up and be like, we're done with this. We're not taking it anymore. Like that. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Yeah. And do something about it. But like, where would you even start? You know, there's so many things.
Yeah. Although I feel like the Constitution is the only thing protecting us right now, to be honest.
I really feel that way, too.
I mean, no,
that's
I
why
agree.
We have amendments.
I'm really uncomfortable with the idea of ripping that out from under us.
No, you know
what? I don't mean ripping it out, but like what I'm saying is like they have systematically destroyed every bit. Like, look at how many, we can't even say what we want on these platforms. Like, we're losing free speech. We're losing all of these things. And it's like, I'm not saying destroyed. I'm saying like what was it, Iceland, that when they went through the housing bubble like we did, they put the bankers in jail and they wrote a new constitution.
Right.
That the people did. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like,
doesn't
it should
be updated.
Doesn't it
terrify you to think of the perverts that are in office right now rewriting the constitution when they
But it
are
wouldn't be them. It would be us.
Yes. We no, hope. It wouldn't right now.
That's
so.
That's the thing.
Well, right now, but that's what I'm saying. They've got
Lindsey,
too much power.
It'd be Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh God.
It'd be Lindsey Graham.
If anybody
Elizabeth
does this,
Warren.
Kill him. If anybody does this, kill him.
Right. Yeah. Jail.
I mean, I think the Constitution is the one thing that we have. I think the amendments process is certainly there for that reason. But I think at the end of the day, you know, we have a country right now and a judicial system that seems to be avoiding the Constitution.
Exactly right.
And if we could get back to the heart of it. So many countries use our constitution as a template to write their own constitutions. And then they throw in some additional things that take away, freedom of the press, for instance, like in Israel and other places, right? They use our constitution as like a baseline, and then they put other stuff on top of it, which removes certain freedoms. So to me, the United States Constitution is like the only document And yeah, that's why we have an amendment process. But I think right
and
now,
and yet, if you carry a constitution with you in your pocket and you get pulled over by the police, that is a sign of somebody that they're like third party bumper stickers and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. You're extremist. If you carry the constitution, it's like these cops they swear an oath to it, but they're not upholding it. Like nobody in our government is upholding the constitution. They're just trying to circumvent it any chance they get.
Yeah. You're a MAGA extremist.